the first line in my sermon, I'm talking about Abraham, and Brad has been talking about seeds, and we are the seed of Abraham. It'll come out in my sermon if I ever get there. I don't know if I'll get there. We are that seed that filled the earth. You know, your generations, your children, God tells Abraham, Abram, before he was called Abraham, will fill the earth. And it's a prophetic fulfillment through Christ, and we are part of that. And the thought I was going to start with, and I hope it's some comfort to you guys as a family, is imagine if Abraham could see today. If he could see from our point of view right now what that meant, you know, 3,500 years ago to a man whose name was Abram, not Abraham yet. Abraham means father of nations, but he was still called Abram, and his wife Sarai, who became Sarah, was barren. And God speaks to a 75-year-old man with a barren wife and says, through you, I'm going to raise up a nation and bless the nations through you. Okay. Cool. And actually, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And I'll say more about that, hopefully profoundly, amazingly, and just astound you with my intellect. But think about it. What aren't we seeing today? We can only see so far, Kelsey. We can only see this far. But imagine if we could see what's coming. Imagine if we could see the fruit of the family we dedicated today. Imagine if you could see what God's doing, bringing churches and nations together. I just have that picture of Abraham, this tired old man, because I'm a tired old man sometimes, this barren wife, and I don't want my wife to have any more children. Amen. If he could just see today the fruit of that. There's no way they had no clue. I mean, by faith he saw the sacrifice, the provision of God, the blood. That's all Abraham's. He's the father of faith. That he saw it by faith. He, even though he's as good as dead, the Bible says, he believed God. And some of us sitting here today, you may feel as good as dead in your dream. You may feel as good as dead in the future and the hope that's waiting for you. Might feel like, how? I can't see it. I've tried my whole life. I've done everything I can do. I can't see it. I'm telling you, just trust God. You hold on to God. I know there's families who have been waiting to have children that can't, and I know there's lives of sorrow, and I know there's seniors that are sitting in this audience that have buried their most precious loved one of their life, and somehow they got to believe that God's in it, and he's working things out, and we have a point, and we have a future, and we have a hope in God. And that's for every one of us. And so, here's how I was really going to start my sermon. Out of our devotions, old Gimbel, what's his name? Nicky Gumbel, Gimbel, what the heck, it's all the same. He's somewhere in this week, he's saying, the title of it was, The Future. Be confident about your future. What does the future hold in store for you? And then I'm preaching on Abraham, so that's where my little pitiful thought came in. If only he could see it. If he could only see today what God did. And I pray that somehow you'll hold on to see what God's going to do with your life, your children, your family, your finance, your home, the seeds that you're sowing that Brad's been talking about since prayer meeting this morning. We have to believe that God is with us and working in us and through us. Otherwise, we would quit. And when I hear little Catherine down in Stellenbosch, she's texting Lori and saying, we need to FaceTime. It's just miraculous what God's doing. And Lori's saying, well, we're sitting in church, we can't. I wish she could stand here and tell you the story of how that little sweet doctor from Mwanza ends up in Stellenbosch, connected with our friends down there, and it's not my doing. Lori's way better at it than me connecting the dots, and they find a position for her because she has to work down there for a time in order for then her to go and do her studies and all these things, and it just keeps going and going and going, how God is just fulfilling and working through our lives and into our lives and using us for his purposes. Yeah. And here's what our little devotional was about. It says, what does the future hold in store for you? Futurologists predict that what will happen in the future. For example, it has been predicted that some babies born today will live to be 150. Some of their predictions may come true, others may not. But I like these couple of points. In 1962, Decca Recording Company rejected the Beatles. They said, we don't like their sound and guitar music is on the way out. Hallelujah. 1977, Ken Olson, chairman of Digital Equipment Company, said, there's no reason anyone would want a computer in their home. Think about it. Those computers filled this whole stage. I remember your first I had my first calculator in grade 10, 74. Used to, you know, I wasn't totally the nerd, but we were pretty nerds. You had that thing hooked on your pants here. And my first calculator could do plus and minus, times and divide. And when it came up with a negative answer, it was a red light that came on. It was amazing! Why would anyone want a computer in their home? My goodness, that phone that I just left on the desk there has more computing power than the Apollo 11 or whatever it was that went to the moon in the first place. Like, it's, who knows what's coming? There are certain things about the future that we don't know and that we're not supposed to know. However, there are other things that you can know, and this is the good part about the future that makes a real difference to your life now. And he's quoting out of Psalm 33. Don't go there because I'm going to be in Genesis, I hope. But it says this, the plans of the Lord stand firm forever. Yes. Hallelujah. That gives me hope for my life. That's enough to know that his plans stand firm forever. That what God says, that what God invites me into, what God walks with me in is firm forever. It's okay. We will get through the hard things. It sounds so easy to say that, but it's true. We will get through battles and trials and tests. And I, again, quoting back to Brian on the weekend, last weekend, what has to change is us, our spirit. That's where revival happens. That's where breakthrough comes. We think of breakthrough out there somewhere. Breakthrough comes here. Spiritual warfare takes place here in us. And God wants to work in us and change us. Change, you know, we pray for circumstances, but God changes us. And to just know our future's firm in God. Would you say that? My future's firm in God. I can trust him. Amen. May that sink into our hearts. Abraham, if he could see today, sitting there with his wife laughing in the tent, what God has done. So I got four or five C's, and I'm not going to preach them all because we've had a good morning. I believe God's spoken through dedications, through singing, through praying for one another, and we still have time to minister and wait on God. So please turn to Genesis chapter 12. It's the story of Abraham. I'm going to call him Abraham. He starts as Abram. His name is changed. The Lord said in chapter 12 of Genesis, verse 1, the Lord had said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the people on earth will be blessed through you. So Abraham left as the Lord had told him. Amen. May God bless his word this morning. So first of all is the call. God called Abraham. Amen? He spoke to him. He called him. And all I'll say about that, because I got paragraphs, but all I'll say to you folks is God is still calling us today. God is calling you into the more. He's calling you closer to himself. He's calling you to rise up in more. You know, sorry if I quote Brian many times today, but I loved what he had to say, is that he's going to, when we talk about breakthrough, we often don't see it as breakthrough in my joy, breakthrough in my faith, breakthrough in my passion for God and my love and my spirit, breakthrough in me. And I've been wrestling with that word all week, you know, out of Philippians, where Paul says, this was for the sake of the gospel, these chains and locked in prison and stuck between two soldiers, whatever. He said, God intended this. What changed? It was his perspective. His circumstances didn't change. His perspective changed. He all of a sudden saw God in the big place, and he saw God's purposes, and he saw what God is doing. And we need that today. Yeah. It never ends. I've prayed with senior citizens, 85 years old, weeping at an altar out of Brightwood Youth Ranch. I've shared this many times. Loved God her whole life. Her children are serving God. They are faithful. I could tell you the whole story. Roy Floden's mother. And she's standing and she comes. She's going, I don't know if I'm saved. And I'm like, devil, leave this woman's mind alone. You can be 89 years old and you're still resting. I don't. Yes, of course you're saved. Your position is secure in Christ. Your future is firm. Yeah. That commitment you made when you were a teenager 70 years ago is firm today. Yeah. Amen. He is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Hallelujah. That's my hope. Yeah. He's holding on to me more than I'm holding on to him. I got this little pitiful faith, Jesus, help me. And then Jesus steps in. It's not a little pitiful Jesus waiting for me to say, oh, Jesus, I believe you. No, it's amazing, mighty God saying, trust me with your life. When we cry out to him, he says, yes, you're saved. You're mine. I can keep you. I'm the author and finisher of your faith. Trust me. And that's what keeps us. We fall down 1,000 times, I'll get up 1,001 times. You fall down 10,000, get up 10,001 times. I don't care. You get up and keep moving with God. My future's firm. My kids' future is firm because of God and his promises. So, why would God choose a 75-year-old with a barren wife? Surely he could have got a 22-year-old with a, you know, this church is very fruitful. He chooses an old guy, and then he waits till he's 100. Just to make a point. I think you're getting it. Yeah? You're never too old. Listen to what God is saying. God called him. And the Bible says he went. And Abraham left as the Lord had told him. So the second one is he believed God, and Genesis chapter 15, if you jump with me, I can't go through all these chapters, but Abraham's life was so amazing. Chapter 15, verses 1 to 6, he says, he believed the Lord. I'm going to read in verse 4. It says, then the word of the Lord came to him, this man, because Abraham was saying, how is this going to be? I don't even, you know, I'm old, my wife is, you know, we're childless. How can all this be? And the word of the Lord came and said to him, this man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. He took him outside and he said, look at the stars and look at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. And here's the nut of the gospel. Like if I was going to take this verse and run, like they say in Bible school, you know, find that crimson cord and make a beeline straight to the cross. Every scripture you read, you should do that. You should make a run for the cross. Make a run for Jesus. What this message is all about. It's one message. There's not 20 messages. There's one message, and this is it. And he says, Abraham believed the Lord, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Hallelujah. Believe the Lord. It's by faith. That's why Abraham's called the father of faith. He's our father, not Moses. Moses came with the law. Abraham, before the law, before circumcision, believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And if we have time, we'll see what that means later on. So he believed God. The covenant was established. Here's the deal. We want the whole plan sometimes. Abraham's complaining. I don't know how this is going to be. And God takes him out and he shows him the stars. Go look at the stars. That's your offspring. How? How's this going to be? But then he says he believed God. He trusted him. He became the father of faith. Turn to Romans chapter 3 and chapter 4. You know, it talks about no one is righteous. And this is on Thursday night. Drew was teaching on Romans and his father every week. You need to get into this book, and I'm not going to do it justice because, you know, chapter 3 and chapter 4 is talking about Abraham, talking about his faith, what I just said. He believed God before the circumcision. He says, there's no one righteous. Let me cut in verse 21 of chapter 3 of Romans. But now a righteousness from God apart from the law has been made known to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, talking about between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. Where then is boasting, verse 27? It is excluded. On what principle? On that of observing the law? No, but of faith. So there's no boasting between Jew or Gentile, circumciser. It's all by faith. Come to chapter 4, verse 1. And then shall we say, what shall we then say about Abraham? Here's Paul's preach about Abraham. Listen to Paul's preach. He says, what shall we say about Abraham, our forefather, discovered what he discovered in this matter? If in fact Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, skip those verses. It's all good. You go read it. But verse 9, is this blessedness only for the circumcised or also for the uncircumcised? We have been saying that Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness. Under what circumstances was it credited? Was it after he was circumcised or before? It was not after, but before. And he received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. So then he is the father of all who believe but have not been circumcised, in order that righteousness might be credited to them. Keep reading. What he's saying is, we need faith. Abraham believed God. It was credited to him as righteousness. And he's making this whole argument to the Jewish people and to each of us that before the law didn't save. The law incited sin. The law was there as a counselor, Galatians says, helping us to get through, helping the nation. It was just like a parenthesis. It was just put there for a time. But it's by faith Abraham believed God, and we are Abraham's seed when we live by faith, and we put our trust in him. And that's why we're here today, and that's why his offspring is as many as the stars in the sky. Like, I don't know how long till Jesus comes to fulfill that, how many more need to come into the kingdom. We'll keep preaching until Jesus himself comes. But he's got a plan, and he's got a future for our lives. So Abraham believed him. If you keep reading in Genesis, then God says to him, but here's the deal. Your offspring, your descendants are going to be slaves in a foreign land for 400 years. That's not the part we want to hear. Come on. You're going to be the father of nations. Your children are going to be like the stars. Woo! But you're going to be a slave in Egypt for 400 years and then I'm going to send someone to come and deliver you. And it's like, why? Why is that? Lord, why do you always do that? I just want the good stuff. It's not how we might want things to go if we are writing our own story. Amen? But that's God's plan. He believed God. So the first one is the call, then the covenant. Then there's confusion, and I got to only say one sentence about this. I could preach all day. Some of you are saying, well, you are preaching all day. Then I'm going to preach longer. No, you're good people. Good for nothing. No. That was an inside thought. There's confusion. That's my next C. And all I want to say about it is Abraham tries to help God. You see how that worked. Here's my handmaiden, Hagar. Let's help God. How many times have you ever tried to help out God and short-circuit what he's doing and come up with a plan and, I got this, God, it's okay. And you see what happened with Abraham. You know, he's the father of three major religions in the world. Judaism, Islam, and Christianity. A lot of confusion. And I know God knows what he's doing and worked through it all and has a plan. And it will all be fulfilled in his purposes. All come together in Christ. All come together in faith in him. There's not many ways. There's one way. It's Jesus. But I can think of many times when we thought we would help God. Back in Evansburg days, we were called to Tanzania, and whole long story, I'd been working there for quite a few years, and then we had to raise our own support and go back. And I remember saying to Lori, you know, well, we'll sell our house. We had it figured out. I had it all laid out. This is how we're going to do it. We're going to sell our house. This is the money that we're going to use to buy tickets. This is the money we're going to ship our things. This is how we're going to live in Tanzania. We've got this sorted. And God said, I don't need your pitiful little house. And it never sold. Nothing happened. I got 2 hours of testimony how God provided for us, and it was like God was saying, your little plan. And then after, like by faith, we had to, anyhow, the only reason we chose September 29th is Lori felt in our spirit, I think God's saying we should leave on the September 29th. Didn't make sense for school, didn't make sense for, I said, okay, I got nothing better. This was talking about in June and stuff. We'll book those tickets in September 29th. No money, no nothing, no support. You take your family to Africa. You make a plan how you're going to do it. You want to give me a hard time? We're standing like, we're stupid, naive. But I knew what God said. That's all I had. That's all we had. God said, you're going to go back to Africa. He confirmed it in different ways. He said, okay, the 29th, okay, that's good enough. We'll book that. And he didn't allow the house to sell. He didn't allow any of my big major plans to come together. And yet, he got us tickets. I could tell you a million testimonies of his provision. And then on the 27th of September, after, like, we are packed. We got our bags. We are trusting God. We're leaving on the 29th. The 27th, our realtor phones. Oh, there's a guy who wants to buy your house. You want to sell it? And we go to meet with him. And it's not a cash deal, which is what I was hoping. It's like, oh, why? Like, why? Why do you work like this? And they said, okay, we'll buy it. But part of the deal is you get another house and some cash. And it was a mobile home with a permanent house built beside it, and it was in Entwistle. Who wants to live in Entwistle? So I go there, I phone Lori, you want to buy another house? Yeah, whatever. She never saw it. That house was sold, they bought another house, and we left on the 29th. But we had everything provided. And God said, I will take care of you. I know what I'm doing. That's why I keep coming back to, if we could have, in 1994, looked ahead and seen today, we would, instead of Lori calling me a liar, ha ha, because what I did is I printed a letterhead. You know, that was my first computer. It ran at 33 millihertz. It had a storage of RAM of something like 50 or something. Like, you put in one program, it would be full. But I got this computer. I'm sitting in our house, and I type out this letter, and I make a letterhead, and it's called Help International. That was the name of our ministry that we made up, and it was real. It became real, and we raised millions of dollars. So that's another testimony. So here's the deal. I print that thing out, and I'm going to send it out. I'm going to raise, you know, we're going to Africa. God's spoken to us. The Lord says, I'm a liar. You're a liar. We don't even have money to go to Evansburg with the car to buy gas, and we're going to Africa. You're a liar. And you know what saved me? I got a fax from Hong Kong, because at a pastor's conference, a pastor from Hong Kong had talked to me. He said, no, you come to Hong Kong, man. You'll raise your support. It's a whole long story what was going on. So that gave me courage. So I wrote to him and said, hey, you know, thanks for meeting me at the conference, whatever, whatever. This is what we're planning. And he faxed back a reply. Just a nice, hi, welcome. If you get a chance, come. Like, he never gave me any money, the beggar, but that fax, I took it to Lori. And I said, you see, we are international. But I'm not telling you the story when she had to encourage me, when I'm laying on the floor saying, oh, God, how can this be? And she said, we are going. And we're going on the 29th. I'm like, okay, that's good enough for me. God is so faithful. He'll make a way when there's just, he doesn't need our little help is what I'm trying to say. Abraham, he doesn't need Hagar. He doesn't need your plan. Trust me. Many years ago, my son Kyle was here. He preached on Adam and Eve. We were still in the blue quilt downstairs, and I still remember his sermon because he was my son. No, it stuck with me. I've used his illustration. But Adam and Eve, when they're caught in sin, you remember the story? What do? They put together fig leaves. Woo, what a plan. God would never see that. That's how much our little plans work. You got your little financial plan all figured out? I got mine. I'm not against having some planning. I got some savings. You know, like I said, when I retire, I can take you for coffee two or three times, and then we're done. So it's like, but that's those little fig leaves are sort of a good picture of you and me and our plans, how we can take care of things. It's like, can't you just see Adam and Eve standing there with a couple of fig leaves? Adam, where are you? How many times has God called your name? Leonard, Jay. See, you can sit at the back, but there's a light back there just shining right on you. How many times, Holly, does God put his hand on our life? And here we are with our own little plan, our own little fig leaves, our own little scheme, how we're going to populate the world. That, think of it. That's Abraham's plan, to have children like the stars. That's as far as he could see. And sometimes that's as far as we can see. And God says, I want to show you my ways. So then the next C is circumcision. I said I was going to speak short, but I lied. Sorry. He says he obeyed God. He's 99 years old now. God's time and ways are not ours. He changed his name from Abram to Abraham. We're finally getting somewhere. He says, you are going to have children, and your offspring's going to populate the world. And he gives him the promised child. That's the next C. But he gives him this hope. At 100 years old now, he's going to have a child. As I said, and he changed his name to Abraham. But for a whole year, Abram is now Abraham, 100 years old, 99 years old, 100 when the baby was born. He's walking around, his friends, hey, father of nations, 100-year-old guy with a barren wife. Hey, how you doing there, father of nations? How would you feel? You come with your dream, you come with your vision, you come with what God spoke to you, and the first thing that's going to happen is they're going to attack it. Your flesh, the devil, everybody around you. You know, you say, well, pastors make everything about money, but that's okay. Why not make everything about money? You say you're going to do something significant on March 20th in this church offering. You watch what the devil does. You watch what everybody around you will say. Oh, that's not wise. That's silly. Can I tell you something? The only money that I've ever kept is what I've given into the kingdom of God. Yeah. The only investments that don't follow me for investments. There's others who you should listen to. My investments. The only one I can look back on and rejoice in, and even if I had made money off my investments, which I didn't, even if I had, the only ones that I can rejoice in is what I put into the kingdom of God. There's a church in Pretoria called 3CI. We invested in that church. We've invested in Swan Hills. We've invested in this church. And I could tell testimonies of you and me in this house, how this place got here. Because people went way out in faith and said, I'm going to believe God. And so as soon as you say that, all hell breaks loose. I've talked to a couple of you this past week. I usually do my taxes in March. I'm so excited because I get money back, always, usually. So I type it in there, and all of a sudden there's these red mail alerts, and you've been reassessed. And all of a sudden, instead of, I'm just so happy, I owe $8,500. It's like, what? Just as soon as we start saying, we're going to be generous, we're going to do something big for the kingdom, we're going to be men and women of Jesus, hallelujah. Okay, you owe us $8,500 plus interest, plus fines, plus, because the letter came back in September, just when we left. And I'm like, devil. And then I talked to a few of you guys, the same thing. And I said, well, how long has it taken to get yours figured out? Well, this is since January. I'm just starting now in March. And I'm like, oh. But what I'm saying to the devil, Lori and I, not just me, okay, devil, then we're going to double it. You're a liar. He's a liar. And all I want to encourage you with is that when you believe God, hold on. You know, it was credited to him as faith, I mean, as righteousness, his faith, but it doesn't mean that the battles didn't end. Years went by, no children, tried all his tricks, did all his things. Sometimes we won't understand it. I've told you my investment scheme when we invested. You know, I don't. Do you care what money is I invested? But for me, it was like millions for me. But we invested. I, because she was against it and I didn't listen. Okay, I confess. I invested $60,000 in a business. I'm going to help God. This is, again, this helping God stuff. How good does that work? You know, I was thinking, we're going to start this restaurant. There's a coffee shop, Chatterbee's. If you want to buy it, I'll sell it to you later. I thought I did my due diligence, and there's a young guy in the church who manages a very successful restaurant in Johannesburg, and him and I are going to be partners, and I put in the money, and he's going to do the thing, and it's going to be great. And I'm telling God secretly in my heart, I'm not telling, you know, because this is the flesh, you know, this is going to be like my secret money. This is going to be, you know, your passive income, whatever people use. You know, preachers and Christians use all kinds of Christian terms. You know, this is going to be like my, you know, little safe place. And we can do ministry. Of course, I was telling God, you know, we'll do ministry with that as it grows. And, you know, it's going to be funds to go back to Canada and see our family. I got to figure it out, Lord. And the day the business opened, you've already heard the testimony. All the power in South Africa went off. That was in 2008. The whole world economy collapsed. And the day they opened, and he didn't plan it well, but it's not all his fault. God knew what he was doing. He opens the restaurant, and there's no power, and there's like five waiters and waitresses and cooks, and it's like, woohoo! And crick, 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 crick. And in that day, they were saying, man, the power may never come back on for a year, and it's going to be load shedding, and, you know, and the whole economy would have collapsed. And, oh, make a long story short, George Ivers, my friend,
who you've met. He's been here and preached. He's a young business guy. He's been successful in his life. He comes and he says, okay, be brutal. Talk. Give us advice. Because the young guy, he wanted to go and borrow money. And I'm like, I'm not borrowing money. And I'm not signing a five-year lease like this. So George comes and he says, well, you can stop today or you can stop when you're 100,000 in the hole. I'm like, thanks, George. I feel so good. So we stopped at zero. And my young partner, he's crying and weeping because he lost his father's gift to him. I don't know what he invested. I do know, but I won't tell you. And he's crying and I'm just sitting there. Okay, Lord. Hagar didn't work out so good. The fig leaves are not doing well. I'm kind of naked over here. Can you just help me? And then the next seed is the child. The promise comes. Hallelujah. Isaac is born. And I love in verse 6, it's Sarah's testimony, Abraham's testimony. He said, who would have thought? And she's talking about that Abraham would have a son nursing on his 100-year-old wife. Who would have ever thought? And that line is what I really wanted to end on and push this morning, is who would have ever thought what we see? Who would have ever thought what God's done in your life? And we heard some of the testimonies today, and this place is full of it. You guys are rascals for testimonies because it's hard to all of a sudden just pull a testimony out of your life, but you're full of testimonies. Yeah. We all are. Who would have ever thought that Lori and I, would have been sitting back in Mwanza for 5 months last year, preaching to Petra City Church with a bunch of young, amazing leaders and people who were children of our friends from 40 years ago. They're in the church. We only found that out after we got there. Like this Catherine is a daughter of one of the closest friends we had in Dar and worked with for years ago, like 35 years ago. Now we're sitting there with her daughter. Now she's sitting there with Russell and Helen. And it's like, who would have ever thought? Who would have ever thought, you know, when I had the plan that I'm going to sell my house and that's going to finance everything, that in our first year back in Tanzania, what we had committed was $1,500 a month. And everybody's saying, you can't go, you can't go, you shouldn't go. You got to raise more support, you're going to fail. And Lori's calling me a liar and all that stuff. And this was already the good stuff. And I'm saying to the guys who are close trustees, friends of ours, pastors, I'm saying, please just let us go back to Africa. We've been home for a year. We got a container full of stuff and medical stuff and music stuff that people donated. Churches were just hauling it off the stage and we're taking it in our container. Just let us go back. Even if we say we last 6 months and we deliver all this good stuff to the church, that's amazing, right? So kind of trusting me that I'm a fool, they said, okay, let's do this. And I take my beautiful kids and my wife and we go back to Tanzania. And that first year, God provided $150,000. I think our commitment was that whatever 1,500 times 12 is, you figure it out. But that would have been just, you know, paying food and a little bit of rent, and my kids probably couldn't have gone to school. No cars, no nothing. And God provided. So why wouldn't I trust him today? Like, that's the testimony of Sarah and Abraham. Who would have thought? Who would have thought? And I pray, Justin and Kelsey, sorry, I just see you there. My heart goes out to you. One day, you'll be able to say, who would have thought how good God is to take care of us? Who would have thought that God could provide? Who would have thought that you would be here in Canada, Paulo? Who would have thought? Whatever, you fill in the blank. You would be sitting here with a beautiful wife and a beautiful baby or whatever your testimony is. Who would have thought? Your business, your Christian faith. I don't know. Who would have thought? And the last one is the conclusion, is the C. He was tested by God. Here's the kicker. Could the band come? We're always going to be tested. And Abraham, he finally gets this amazing son, Isaac, the child of promise, the amazing gift of God. And then God says, I want you to sacrifice your son. And he takes them up the mountain. He puts them on the altar and gets the wood ready. takes his sword, and as he's ready to sacrifice his son, God says, stop. Now I know that you believe God. And so whatever dream, whatever God speaks to you, obey it, step out into it, trust him with it. Don't lose hope. Don't quit. But I'm telling you, it's going to get tested. And if we had lots of time, I'd talk about the three tests of leaders. But remember Joseph, he was tested with integrity, thrown in the pit, the prison, to the palace. Are you ready to be a true leader? Then he's got to test your integrity. And the word test of Samuel when he was a little boy, until finally Eli the priest said, you say what God said, you tell us. Imagine a little boy has to go and tell the high priest, your sons are living in sin and God's going to remove you from the priesthood. But Samuel was faithful with the word of God. That's the second test. And the third test is Abraham. Will you trust me? Will you obey me? And Abraham passed that test and he says, stop. He says, now I know you believe. Now I know you trust me. Now I know you obey me. So I don't know where you're at in your walk with God. If God's speaking to you this morning about your life, about your finances, about your marriage, about your home, about your future, all I know is our future is confident in God. Take the steps that he asks you to take. Whatever area that you're dealing with, if it's finances, be bold. If it's job, if it's ministry, if it's whatever it is. Brad started this morning by saying you're sorry. The communion. Maybe you need to repent. Maybe you need to turn. Maybe revival needs to come here. And we're going to get tested. And maybe you feel like you're tested right now. You're in a fire right now. Just hold on. You just keep obeying God. You know, you're in a marriage where your partner's against you, against your faith. You hold on to God. You trust God. You're in a situation where your finances, you're just like, God, I don't know. Or maybe you're in that place where you're seeing the miracle this morning and you're saying, who would have thought? Who would have thought I'd be sitting here in this circumstance today? No matter where you're at today, I'm asking you to just ask God for more. Ask God to help you to push in, to trust him. And if you need strength, we're here today for that. That's what this service is about. We took communion, we prayed, but Brad, you'd be free today. This service is about putting courage into, putting steel into backbones that need courage today. So we just ask. You respond to God as he's speaking to you. Amen.